This is the reading for September 10th. Jeremiah chapter 1. These are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah. He belonged to the family of priests who lived in the town of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah during the 13th year that Josiah, son of Ammon, was king of Judah. The Lord also spoke to Jeremiah while Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah, and during the 11 years that Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was king of Judah. In the fifth month of his last year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away as captives. The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, "Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "But Lord God, I don't know how to speak. I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Don't say, 'I am only a boy.' You must go everywhere I send you, and you must say everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of anyone, because I am with you to protect you, says the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. He said to me, "See, I am putting my words in your mouth. Today I have put you in charge of nations and kingdoms. You will pull up and tear down, destroy and overthrow, build up and plant." The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" I answered, "I see a stick of almond wood." The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, because I am watching to make sure my words come true." The Lord spoke his word to me again, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a pot of boiling water tipping over from the north." The Lord said to me, "Disaster will come from the north and strike all the people who live in this country. In a short time, I will call all of the people in the northern kingdoms," said the Lord. "Those kings will come and set up their thrones near the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will attack all the city walls around Jerusalem and all the cities in Judah. And I will announce my judgments against my people because of their evil in turning away from me. They offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped idols they had made with their own hands." Jeremiah, get ready. Stand up and tell them everything I command you to say. Don't be afraid of the people, or I will give you good reason to be afraid of them. Today I am going to make you a strong city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. You will be able to stand against everyone in the land, Judah's kings, officers, priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not defeat you, because I am with you to protect you, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2. The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, "Go and speak to the people of Jerusalem, saying, 'This is what the Lord says. I remember how faithful you were to me when you were a young nation. You loved me like a young bride. You followed me through the desert, a land that had never been planted. The people of Israel were holy to the Lord, like the first fruits from his harvest. Those who tried to hurt Israel were judged guilty. Disaster struck them," says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, family of Jacob, all you family groups of Israel. This is what the Lord says: "I was fair to your ancestors, so why did they turn away from me? Your ancestors worshipped useless idols and became useless themselves. Your ancestors didn't say, 'Where is the Lord who brought us out of Egypt? He led us through the desert, through a dry and rocky land, through a dark and dangerous land. He led us where no one travels or lives. I brought you into a fertile land so you could eat its fruit and produce, but you came and made my land unclean. You made it a hateful place.' The priests didn't ask, 'Where is the Lord?' The people who know the teachings didn't know me. The leaders turned against me. The prophets prophesied in the name of Baal and worshipped useless idols. So now I will again tell what I have against you, says the Lord, and I will tell what I have against your grandchildren. Go across the sea to the island of Cyprus and see. Send someone to the land of Kedar to look closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever exchanged its gods? Of course, its gods are not really gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for idols worth nothing. Skies, be shocked at the things that have happened and shake with great fear, says the Lord. My people have done two evils. They have turned away from me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own wells, which are broken wells that cannot hold water. Have the people of Israel become slaves? Have they become like someone who was born a slave? Why were they taken captive? Enemies have roared like lions at Israel. They have growled at Israel. They have destroyed the land of Israel. The cities of Israel lie in ruins, and all the people have left. The men from the cities of Memphis and Tahpenes have disgraced you by shaving the top of your head. Haven't you brought this on yourselves by turning away from the Lord your God when He was leading you in the right way? It did not help to go to Egypt and drink from the Shihor River. It did not help to go to Assyria and drink from the Euphrates River. Your evil will bring punishment to you, and the wrong you have done will teach you a lesson. Think about it and understand that it is a terrible evil to turn away from the Lord your God. It is wrong not to fear me, says the Lord God, all-powerful. Long ago you refused to obey me as an ox breaks its yoke. You broke the ropes I used to hold you and said, I will not serve you. In fact, on every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down as a prostitute. But I planted you as a special vine, as a very good seed. How then did you turn into a wild vine that grows bad fruit? Although you wash yourself with cleanser and use much soap, I can still see the stain of your guilt, says the Lord God. How can you say to me, I am not guilty, I have not worshipped the Baal idols? Look at the things you did in the valley. Think about what you have done. You are like a she-camel in mating season that runs from place to place. You are like a wild donkey that lives in the desert and sniffs the wind at mating time. At that time, who can hold her back? Any male who chases her will easily catch her. At mating time, it is easy to find her. Don't run until your feet are bare or until your throat is dry. But you say it's no use. I love those other gods and I must chase them. A thief is ashamed when someone catches him stealing. In the same way, the family of Israel is ashamed. They, their kings, their officers, their priests, and their prophets. They say to things of wood, you are my father, and to idols of stone, you gave birth to me. Those people won't look at me. They have turned their backs to me. But when they get into trouble, they say, come and save us. Where are the idols you made for yourselves? Let them come and save you when you are in trouble. People of Judah, you have as many idols as you have towns. Why do you complain to me? All of you have turned against me, says the Lord. I punished your people, but it did not help. They didn't come back when they were punished. With your swords, you killed your prophets like a hungry lion. People of Judah, pay attention to the word of the Lord. Have I been like a desert to the people of Israel, or like a dark and dangerous land? Why do my people say, we are free to wander? We won't come to you anymore. A young woman does not forget her jewelry, and a bride does not forget the decorations for her dress. But my people have forgotten me for more days than can be counted. You really know how to chase after love. Even the worst women can learn evil ways from you. Even on your clothes you have the blood of poor and innocent people, but they weren't thieves you caught breaking in. You do all these things, but you say, I am innocent. God is not angry with me, but I will judge you guilty of lying because you say, I have not sinned. It is so easy for you to change your mind. Even Egypt will let you down as Assyria let you down. You will eventually leave that place with your hands on your head like captives. You trusted those countries, but you will not be helped by them, because the Lord has rejected them.
Chapter 19.
While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces to get to the city of Ephesus. He met some disciples in Ephesus and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They answered him, "No, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit." Paul asked them, "What kind of baptism did you have?" They answered, "John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. John told people to believe in Jesus who was coming later." After they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they began to talk in other languages and to speak what God had revealed. About 12 men were in the group. For 3 months, Paul would go into the synagogue and speak boldly. He had discussions with people to convince them about the kingdom of God. But when some people became stubborn, refused to believe, and had nothing good to say in front of the crowd about the way of Christ, he left them. He took his disciples and held daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God worked unusual miracles through Paul. People would take handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul's skin to those who were sick. Their sicknesses would be cured and evil spirits would leave them. Some Jews used to travel from place to place and force evil spirits out of people. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to force evil spirits out of those who were possessed. These Jews would say, "I order you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul talks about." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "I know Jesus and I'm acquainted with Paul, but who are you?" Then the man possessed by the evil spirit attacked them. He beat them up so badly that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. All the Jews and Greeks living in the city of Ephesus heard about this. All of them were filled with awe for the name of the Lord Jesus and began to speak very highly about it. Many believers openly admitted their involvement with magical spells and told all the details. Many of those who were involved in the occult gathered their books and burned them in front of everyone. They added up the cost of these books and found that they were worth 50,000 silver coins. In this powerful way, the word of the Lord was spreading and gaining strength. After all these things had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem by traveling through Macedonia and Greece. He said, "After I have been there, I must see Rome." So he sent 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed longer in the province of Asia. During that time, a serious disturbance concerning the way of Christ broke out in the city of Ephesus. Demetrius, a silversmith, was in the business of making silver models of the temple of Artemis. His business brought a huge profit for the men who worked for him. He called a meeting of his workers and others who did similar work. Demetrius said, "Men, you know that we are earning a good income from this business, and you see and hear what this man, Paul, has done. He has won over a large crowd that follows him, not only in Ephesus, but also throughout the province of Asia. He tells people that gods made by humans are not gods. There's a danger that people will discredit our line of work, and there's a danger that people will think that the temple of the great goddess Artemis is nothing. Then she, whom all Asia and the rest of the world worship, will be robbed of her glory." When Demetrius' workers and the others heard this, they became furious and began shouting, "Artemis of the Ephesians is great!" The confusion spread throughout the city, and the people had one thought in mind as they rushed into the theater. They grabbed Gaius and Aristarchus, the Macedonians who traveled with Paul, and they dragged the 2 men into the theater with them. Paul wanted to go into the crowd, but his disciples wouldn't let him. Even some officials who were from the province of Asia and who were Paul's friends sent messengers to urge him not to risk going into the theater. Some people shouted one thing, while others shouted something else. The crowd was confused. Most of the people didn't even know why they had come together. Some people concluded that Alexander was the cause, so the Jews pushed him to the front. Alexander motioned with his hand to quiet the people because he wanted to defend himself in front of them. But when they recognized that Alexander was a Jew, everyone started to shout in unison, "Artemis of the Ephesians is great!" They kept doing this for about 2 hours. The city clerk finally quieted the crowd. Then he said, "Citizens of Ephesus, everyone knows that this city of the Ephesians is the keeper of the temple of the great Artemis. Everyone knows that Ephesus is the keeper of the statue that fell down from Zeus. No one can deny this. So you have to be quiet and not do anything foolish. The men you brought here don't rob temples or insult our goddess. If Demetrius and the men who work for him have a legal complaint against anyone, we have special days and officials to hold court. That's where they should bring charges against each other. If you want anything else, you must settle the matter in a legal assembly. At this moment, we run the risk of being accused of rioting today for no reason. We won't be able to explain this mob. After saying this, he dismissed the assembly.